Serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost.
President Roosevelt's speech 75 years ago is probably something you've heard a time or two, but as I welcome you back to Hometown Heroes and our visit with USS Arizona survivor Donald Stratton, I wonder if you've heard any of the speech that Don listened to at Pearl Harbor on the 75th anniversary of that Sunday morning, which has lived in infamy. He had been trapped high above the deck, nearly consumed by a 400-foot-high fireball, but somehow he escaped down a rope onto the USS Vestal, spent nearly a year in the hospital recovering, re-enlisted after his medical discharge, and served on the destroyer USS Stack, supporting landings at Leyte, Luzon, and Okinawa before being discharged a second time. Don would end up traveling all over the world in his work as a barge master and later diver tender in the oil pipeline and offshore drilling business. He once even submerged to 1,100 feet in a two-man submarine. The Red Cloud, Nebraska native, lived for quite a while in Yuma, Arizona, and in Santa Barbara, California, but he's now in Colorado Springs with Velma, his wife of 66 years. And on December 7th, 2016, he was one of 4 living USS Arizona survivors to have a front row seat for a speech by Admiral Harry Harris, Jr. It's quite a speech, and I'm a little embarrassed I haven't shared it yet on this program. You can link to it in its entirety at hometownheroesradio.com, but here are some high points from Admiral Harris on the 75th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack.
You can bet that the men and women that we honor today and those who died that fateful morning 75 years ago never took a knee and never failed to stand whenever they heard our national anthem being played. Hearing the words, "the land of the free and the home of the brave," means something special for every American every day. But today, on December 7th, it takes on extraordinary significance as we're joined here in this hallowed place by World War II veterans and survivors of attacks on military bases all across Oahu, including right here at Pearl Harbor. That fateful Sunday morning, 75 years ago, they were about to conduct morning colors when they were surprised to hear the sounds of real bombs bursting in air instead of the reassuring melody of our nation's anthem. At that dawn's early light, they ran to battle stations and to the sound of the guns as they moved boldly to begin the defense of our country. So please help me welcome again these patriots with a grateful nation's round of applause. Just prior to the attack 75 years ago, on a morning not unlike this one, people not unlike us were waking up to enjoy another day in paradise. Indeed, some of the veterans joining us today were probably thinking about spending the day on the beach, playing baseball, hanging out with friends, or listening to the Battle of the Bands at Block Arena right here on this base. No one knew it would be the last moment of peace for almost 4 years. The horrific events that took place here caught America, her Navy, her Army Air Corps, her Marine Corps, and the territory of Hawaii by surprise. We were attacked all across Oahu, at Schofield Barracks and Wheeler Field, at Bellows, Kaneohe, Hickam, and of course, right here at Pearl Harbor. And it fell upon the shoulders of brave Americans like these here in the front rows to respond to crisis that fateful day. The surprise assault by the Imperial Japanese Navy lasted all of 110 chaotic minutes, almost as long as this speech is going to be. It was a day of gallantry and unquestionable heroism, even as it was a day of sacrifice and immeasurable loss. In less than 2 hours, there were over 2,400 killed, 1,200 wounded, and a majority of the U.S. Pacific Fleet taken out of action, catastrophic by any standard. The scars remain, and we see them all around us. The battleships USS Arizona and USS Utah still entombed in these waters behind me. The USS Oklahoma Memorial, the bullet holes in the buildings at Fort Island and Hickam Field, and on the bodies and in the minds of the veterans here with us today. These scars remind us of our history and how America responded with conspicuous valor. Today, we have a precious opportunity to reflect on what it means to be a patriot, to reflect on what it means to be a nation tested by war, and to reflect on both the costs and the blessings of liberty. They say that hindsight is 20/20, for history has shown us that the alarm bells had been sounding throughout the 1930s. As America looked eastward toward Europe, we watched as a military dictatorship in Germany began to grow in power, and fascist Italy allied itself to Nazi Germany. But we looked westward as well, where we saw the militaristic rise of Imperial Japan. In fact, we relocated the Pacific Fleet from California to Hawaii in 1940, a move designed to give pause to a potential adversary. Even so, 75 years ago, the United States was strategically surprised, caught flat-footed by Imperial Japan. The military and first responders here in the islands mustered an incredibly brave defense against staggering odds. They engaged the enemy as best they could with what they had. For those who gave their last full measure of devotion for their nation that day, we feel a deep sense of sorrow. Yet we're also inspired by their great gift to the world, the gift of freedom itself. They did not go quietly into that night, and along with those who survived, a reluctant nation emerged to fight and ultimately win World War II. Those who survived Pearl Harbor also left us a warning. Remember Pearl Harbor. Keep America alert. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, an imperative to never be caught by strategic surprise again. But 15 years ago, we were again surprised by a major attack on our soil, not by a nation state this time, but by terrorists. As before in the preceding decade, alarm bells had been ringing. Even as we worked hard to understand those alarms, few, if any, could have anticipated the methodology behind those events in New York, in Shanksville, in the Pentagon, on that fateful autumn day. Now, I'm not a preacher man. In fact, the Chief of Chaplains, Admiral Margaret Kevin, is in the audience here. But there's a passage in the Good Book which defines for me who those who responded in 1941 and again in 2001 are. You see, in Isaiah, God was searching for the right man, a man with the right stuff, if you will, a man to embark on a dangerous mission and go into a dangerous land. Whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? And it was Isaiah who responded, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Here am I, send me. Powerful words when our nation was attacked 75 years ago today, and again 60 years later on another sunny day, this time in New York, Lady Liberty called out in her pain and anguish, "Whom shall I send? Who shall go for me?" And everywhere, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen, and civilians called out, "Here am I, America, send me. Here am I, America, send me." America is blessed beyond riches. Our nation is blessed to have strong men and women with exceptional courage who are willing and able to step forward to do whatever it takes to defend America whenever Lady Liberty is in jeopardy. Just like the greatest generation who answered the clarion call of duty after Pearl Harbor and Korea and Vietnam and the Cold War and the Gulf War, a new generation of men and women volunteered to stand in the gap for us following 9/11. Since then, we have pursued and engaged our enemies even to the ends of the earth, and we're still at it today. A free nation cannot survive without those who are willing to place service to country ahead of service to self. So, ladies and gentlemen, every December 7th, we remember the past actions of our veterans on Oahu because they inspire us today and because they shape our future. My dad and so many of the greatest generation are no longer with us, but we can still hear their stories of duty, of honor, and of courage. Their ghosts walk amongst us. Their spirits speak to us. Protect this house. This we'll defend. And we're fortunate indeed to listen and learn from living World War II veterans. To America's World War II patriots here and watching at home, we will never forget your courage under considerable fire and seemingly insurmountable odds. Because of you, our future remains bright. We owe you an immeasurable debt, and we can't thank you enough for answering the call of duty when Lady Liberty needed it the most. May God bless our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen, past and present, who stood the watch and answered that clarion call to duty. May God bless this beautiful state of Hawaii, and may God bless the United States of America, which has always been and forever shall be the land of the free and the home of the brave. Thank you very much.
Again, that was Admiral Harry Harris Jr. at Pearl Harbor on the 75th anniversary in December. If you pull up the video of the full speech at hometownheroesradio.com, you'll catch a glimpse of Don Stratton in the front row reacting to some of those comments. The last we heard from Don here, he was telling us the lesson of Pearl Harbor is something that we should think about every day. So I wanted to know if he still thinks about it every day.
Sometimes it comes quite often, but it's kind of like old hat now. It's been so many years. I think about the casualties a lot, but nothing I can do about that. The good Lord already taken care of that.
Are you planning someday to have your remains there with your shipmates?
No, I'm not, because like I told one of my, Danny Martinez, that's an overseer of the Pearl Harbor Memorial there, I said, I'm not going to be buried on the ship because I've already been cremated once, and I've got two daughters that are buried in Red Cloud, and Mom and I are going to be down there. We already got our lot and their stone and everything. Mm.
Do you raise some eyebrows with that already been cremated once line?
Well, some people just kind of say, well, yeah, I guess, maybe, you know, so.
Well, there's some truth to it there, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
You've probably been asked this before, and maybe it's a hard one to answer. But in those 1,177 from your ship who didn't make it through December 7th, I'm sure you knew quite a few of them.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever wondered about what their lives would have been like?
Well, it's not for my decision to be look like that. I mean, I'm here on from the sake of the good Lord and whatever, and the casualties are casualties, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You have quite a display here right next to us, a beautiful scale model of your ship. You can point out exactly where you were that morning of December 7th. You've got your medals on the wall, including the Purple Heart and the campaign ribbons that you earned on the stack after that. You've got a cross made out of the rusted superstructure of your ship, the Arizona. Is there any of those that maybe means the most to you or is the most powerful for you when you walk past and look at it?
No, it's just something that's happened in my lifetime, several things.
What keeps you going? I mean, you're 94, you're in phenomenal shape, you got a new car in the driveway, not to mention your cherished blue Chevy pickup with that 350 engine. What keeps you going at your age?
Well, you don't think about much of anything. You think maybe about a little bit about tomorrow, what's going to happen and whatever, but you're here and you have to put up with it, so there's nothing you can do about it.
For that year that you're sitting in the hospital and they've got you under the lamp and these skin grafts are healing up and this body that was almost extinguished is coming back to life, did you imagine that you're going to have a wife, have children, grandchildren, have the career you have?
I've never even thought about that at that time. I was only 19 years old, and I was pretty well hurt and just wanted to get well and get on with my life, and that finally happened. You think about what's happening tomorrow or what's happening if I go on Liberty or what's happened to this and that, but it's just an ordinary lifetime.
I don't think anyone would describe your life as ordinary.
Well, like I said, everybody's got to be someplace.
Have you ever encountered someone else who went through what you went through, was injured to the extent that you were, and got back in the service?
Not that I can really recall, but there was a lot of people in the hospital the same time I was there, so maybe their lifetime is halfway a story what mine was like, but that doesn't affect my lifetime right now. I'm doing pretty well, and I'm very thankful to be here, so that's the way it goes.
Well, I'm thankful that you're here and that you've told your story and that you're kind enough to share some of it with me and with our listeners here. You've mentioned the good Lord quite a few times here. How real is that for you? Are there times where you really felt there was a divine presence or intervention?
Well, I think that's in everybody's mind, and what's happening with the good Lord and what our life would be like without him, and live according to what you think that's really happening. So some divine power has got a lot to do with a lot of things that happen to people and don't happen, and so you live with it, or just an ordinary lifetime, as far as I'm concerned.
Sounds like you're saying you realize you're not always in control.
You're not ever always in control.
What would you say that you're most proud of or most thankful for?
Well, that I'm still here on earth, and I've been married for 66 years, and we've lived a pretty good lifetime. Outside of losing my oldest son and a couple of daughters.
And I think the last question that I need to ask you, of everything you dealt with during World War II, from those first moments when you're engulfed in flames to recovering in the hospital against all odds to all that time on the stack in real hazardous situations on a destroyer, what was the hardest thing that you ever had to face in the Navy?
I don't think it was really any hardest thing. It was just that you had to make yourself enjoy your surroundings and your shipmates and how you got along with them and how your lifetime was going to wartime, and thought maybe what you would do after the war was over and a few things like that. But it, you know, just an ordinary lifetime.
Have you run up against any misconceptions about Pearl Harbor that you want to set people straight on?
Well, it's very negligent of our commanding officers and whatever that disregarded the sink of the submarine off the harbor and the planes coming in from the north, and so 200 planes are supposed to be maybe 17, and just total disregard, and we really caught off guard, and we had to pay the price, and it cost a lot of lives, and it's gone and it's over with, and we're back to normal, hopefully, and I hope we're a little more alert now than we were then.
And how many of you Arizona survivors are left?
I think there's only five.
That's what I thought. Among the five of you, do you guys have any plans for any special observances? Or?
Well, we were just there was only four of us at the 75th reunion, and one gentleman couldn't make it. But we'll just go on till our lifetime's over with, and that's the last survivor is gone, and that's going to be the end of that.
Is there one part of that memorial that means the most to you? One aspect of being out there and taking it all in?
No, it's just public to see and a reminder to everybody what happened and how many lives was lost that day, and we've got to be very vigilant. It could happen again.
Well, we will hope and pray that it doesn't, and if it does, we'll hope and pray that there are men like you to answer the call the way you did.
Well, I'm sure there is, and there's a lot of people and a lot of lives that went through as much as I did and more probably, and still very vigilant and still very happy to be still around, and that's it.
Well, I just want to say one more thing, sir, and I'm sure a lot of people have said it to you over the years, but I want to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, not just once, but having the determination to get back in there and do it again, and thank you so much for telling us a story that really no one else could tell.
Well, thank you. Like I said, everybody had to be someplace.
Well, I can't say I'm glad you were where you were, because nobody would wish that on anyone, but I'm quite thankful that you found the strength to endure that day and so many that followed, in which it had to feel so painful and so overwhelming, the courage and determination to get back in the Navy after those severe burns and a medical discharge. It's one of those stories that leaves the rest of us thinking that anything we might have to complain about really isn't that significant. Donald Stratton's book is called All the Gallant Men, referring to those names etched in marble at the USS Arizona Memorial. If you look up that word, gallant, in the dictionary, you'll find spirited, brave, nobly chivalrous, and often self-sacrificing. If we're going to discuss all the gallant men, there is no doubt in my mind that Donald Stratton has to be included. Again, you can link to the book and much more material at hometownheroesradio.com. Thanks for listening to the program today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you once more that freedom is not free.